Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, Carmella gets her rematch, What is Becky Lynch Thinking?, and so many spin-a-roonies. Stay tuned!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Get those pinkies up for royalty. Thou art live on AfterBuzzTV.com. The AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud. Like and subscribe and tell your friends and your foes about AfterBuzz TV as we break down SmackDown Live. What's up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Gabby is off this week. Tom, we'll talk about in a moment, getting ready to go all in. But hanging out with me this week to break down SmackDown is our good buddy Steve Kaufman.
I'm here. I can't do the whole show in Old English. Or like Shakespearean English.
Thy cannot.
Thy can try.
Thy try harder.
Thy will probably behest fail.
That's probably better than what I can do anyway. But hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. It's gonna be fun.
Thank you for jumping on in, hanging out with us. Like I said, Tom will actually be, he's getting ready to head to Chicago with his Connolly Central Rings exclusive all-in objects. You have to go, a very limited supply. If you're going to Starkins in Chicago, check him out. Go say hi. Hang out with him. Wear your Rosenberg shirt.
Buy him coffee. He'll buy him coffee to bribe him for when you need a custom order later.
Sure.
He'll remember who took care of him on this weekend.
Yeah. If he comes back, because, I mean, he's such a big deal now, he might forget about us little people.
I feel like he's going to just land a brand deal out in Chicago. That's his life now.
Yeah. His life is making rings.
Yeah.
And we're just living in the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
feels right.
That just feels like the perfect response to such things.
I think so. Hey, SmackDown. Pretty freaking crazy tonight.
This SmackDown was really crazy.
Yeah. It was. Well, I thought you were going to go more than just
no,
that.
No, that's all I had. I was like, no, I will tell you that it is also crazy. This show is going to be crazy. I can tell you from right now.
We're just two guys doing this show.
Yep.
Going to talk some SmackDown. And we talk about the New Day to start things up with a mock of a Stanley Cup holding pancakes, which is on one hand great because they're in Toronto and Canadians love hockey. Toronto has not won the Stanley Cup in a very, very long time. So I wasn't quite sure this was the right place in Canada for the Stanley Cup. But hey, New Day can do whatever the hell they want because they're awesome.
They're playing to TV.
Yes.
To the TV audience, Toronto is Canada. Canadians like hockey. That's as far as you think it. And I don't think anyone in Toronto was upset because it wasn't that much of a Stanley Cup that people were like, oh my goodness, they're throwing shade. There were pancakes in the Stanley Cup. You can't take everything too seriously.
It's true. It is true. And they're in the ring celebrating there because now they are not one, not two, not three, not four, but five-time tag team champions.
Did you say five times?
I said five times.
Five times.
Five times.
Five times.
I've said five times several times now.
Shaky
hand. For those of you listening, Steve is shaking his hand in front of his face.
Shaky hand.
And so while they're celebrating, though, they get interrupted by not Booker T, but King Booker.
Whew.
We have not seen him in quite a long time.
It's what I always found funny about Booker T being known as like the five-time champion was everything with King Booker was his sixth championship.
Yeah, that was actually reign number six. Nothing to do with the five times.
He became known for saying five times and holding his hand out like that. That everyone's forgetting, like, he's okay with losing a reign or two by knowing full well, like, no, I'm known as five times.
Well, because he only had one more reign. He only had one WWE reign, and that was as King Booker, right?
I wouldn't be shocked if he traded it at one point, just because of the way title reigns went at that time. I wouldn't have been shocked if he lost it and got it back. I'm not recalling it that way, and I'm sure the chat will correct me very fast.
Yeah, let us know, chat roll. I think Booker only won it once, and it was when he was King Booker!
True.
With the pinky.
I also wouldn't be shocked if he was a world champion elsewhere after King Booker, but we don't talk about that.
Yeah. But so he arrives. New Day bows. They grovel at his feet. And Booker has nicknames for them. We have Xavier the Wise, Kofi the Brave, and Big E. And Big E was like, pardon me, my liege. Where's my regal name? I'm going to say it. You went full Saxton on me.
Ooh.
For those of you who might not remember when Byron Saxton was getting them ready for like the pancake eat off. It might have been 4th of July, something like that. He gave big intros to Xavier and Kofi and not to Big E. So Big E brought it back.
One quick note as well. Xavier Woods, Kofi Kingston, you've been knighted.
That's
Therefore,
true.
Therefore, your Twitter display name, not your handle. You can't change your handle. You'll lose your check mark. Your Twitter display name, the big bold thing above your handle, that must be your handle now. The king has spoken.
Okay.
Just a quick aside. If they were unaware, they are now aware.
Well, King Booker quickly turned back into Booker. And was like, you didn't just say that. Tell me you didn't just say that. But he welcomes them to the five-time champions club. And they all do spin-a-roonies. First of all, we haven't seen Booker do a spin-a-roony in God knows how long. Xavier did actually a really good job at it. Kofi did okay. And Big E was Big E.
Yeah.
But I was expecting someone to interrupt, because you think a celebration, someone was going to interrupt and be like, this is stupid, we deserve to be champs. Nothing. They just let him have fun.
And I loved it. I think it speaks to the duality and what they see in the New Day. Because on one side, they very clearly, regardless of the booking, see the New Day as an act. Mm-hmm. Similar to how Raw sees Elias.
Right.
That Elias doesn't have to go out and wrestle every night. The New Day doesn't have to go out and wrestle every night. What's interesting with the New Day is they wrestled last week and tore the house down because they can.
Yeah.
So there's such a duality, and that's what makes them so marketable and so awesome is when the chips are down and they actually have to wrestle, they'll out-wrestle most of the they'll out-wrestle most of their competition. But then again, you can also set up an orange table and they'll do just as well and be just as over if you give them headsets and pancakes.
Yeah. And because then they got headsets because we had the New Day commentary table for a triple threat tag team match with the Bar versus Gallows and Anderson versus the Colognes. The winner of that will face the winner of another triple threat tag next week, and the winner of that match will then face New Day because we just did this last month. Not with triple threat tag
matches. We did a tournament last month. And the New Day won that tournament.
And we're doing a mini tournament this month just with triple threat tag matches.
But the tournament had four teams. And two triple threat matches have six teams.
And
completely different.
And when you win, you advance.
When you win, you advance to the finals of the triple threat not tournament.
Oh.
They're very clear in the verbiage here.
Oh, they are different.
Did you read the fine print in the bracket that Paige posted? You got to follow Paige on Twitter.
I guess I did. I got to read that fine print. By the way, we had a whole segment last week of the Bar saying they're going just up against Gallows and Anderson in a straight-up tag team match. Winner was going to get a title shot. And then we just decided we're going to forget we did that entire three-minute segment. And we're going to throw the Colognes in. I'm glad the Colognes are back. Yeah. I'm glad Epico is healthy and is back and they can wrestle again, because they're two very underrated talents that have been there forever that just keep getting plagued with injuries.
I'm really excited to see the Colognes. It's unfortunate they kind of literally third been added them tonight, where it's like, oh, they're here.
Yeah.
Where it's, I think this match, them being in this match was an announcement to me that like, oh, the Colognes are still there? They're still using the Colognes? Like, the Colognes are on SmackDown? Like,
Primo has been there for, like, in chat roll, tell me. I want to say Primo's been on the roster for, like, over 13 years now.
That feels pretty correct, because it was Miz and Morrison. They unified
He started with teaming with Carlito.
Yeah, it was who were also the Brothers Colognes, or the Colognes Brothers. Like,
yeah.
The Colognes, that's why it's so confusing to me that, like, you could tune into SmackDown for the past 13 years.
And see the Colognes.
And you could see the Colognes in the tag division. Different Colognes. But still, I remember it was...
They're all family.
They're all cousins.
Yeah. So New Day has a commentary table. The highlight of that was Kofi saying, Carl is in good shape, but right now he is in rough shape.
Oh, so good.
Thank you. Brilliant analysis by Kofi Kingston. A double backstabber by the Colognes on the gallows. That takes him out. But while they did that, Cesaro tagged himself in. Cesaro and Sheamus took out the Colognes. He pins Gallows, the Bar, Advance in this non-triple threat tag team tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And will face the winner of next week's, which we find out with the promo backstage, it will be Sanity, the Usos, and the reunited Rusev Day. Rusev and English getting into this match. And Rusev is ecstatic and he's thanking Lana. But Lana's like, it wasn't me who got you in this. It was Aiden.
Okay, I don't know. It's when you watch week to week, Rusev going from literally having a good match with the champ to the pre-show to the tag team division. If you watch it week to week, it doesn't feel like a fall from grace. But on paper, it is definitely a fall from grace.
How Rusev went from title match to kickoff match to now involved in a tag title match?
Yeah. Like, on paper, that's 100% a fall from grace. It's a fall from the card. Like, you can't... But, like, he makes everything so important.
Yes.
That, like, him heading... I was really interested in him in that Cien Almas match. Mainly just because of how he treats things. That, like, this one promo here, I was like, oh, maybe... Maybe he'll be tag champs, or maybe we'll, like, see some more rumblings between this pairing. Yeah. I mean, I'm into this either way.
Oh, yeah, and I'm curious if they're just dropping him, having him back together, or if this is part of Aiden's plan to turn on him. We'll see. Charo is saying it's been about 11 years for Primo.
That sounds right.
So WrestleMania 25 was the year that they beat Miz and Morrison. So right around that time. By the way, we love everyone on Charo. We love everyone who listens and downloads and watches and likes and comments and subscribes and shares and tweets and Snapchats and MySpaces and Friendsters and Classmates.coms and touts. They still tout.
Some of our fans still tout.
And tell us about them, Steve.
Our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite television shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we, here at AfterBuzz TV, need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz TV continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be, because they are optional. You do not have to click the bell, although we'd like you to. So hit the subscribe button for this channel and check out all the other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels. And let us know you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air. For now, thank you for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
All right. Jeff Hardy. And Jeff Hardy, this week, is on Christian's Closet, everybody.
Okay.
That's right. He is the this week's member. Maybe the only one. Maybe there's another one. We'll see. But Steve, please hit my music. Yes. And this has to do with the face paint this week. We don't talk too much about the face. We've talked about it in the past. However, this week, one side of Jeff Hardy's face paint, it says RKO along the side of his face. And the other side, if you look closely, it's like a portrait of someone's face. Most likely trying to make Randy Orton's face on the side of his face. I don't know if he did this himself, because he typically will do it himself, but that is not easy.
No.
That was damn right impressive.
It was rather skillful.
Yes.
He is very artful, I think.
So Jeff gets on it this week for the face paint, and I applaud that. There you go. Cut the music.
Also, the eyes... The eyes painted on the eyelids.
Well, he's been doing that for a long time.
No, but I'm saying, like, that's still really cool.
It's badass.
And they get to shoot really cool vignettes, like heading into the commercial before his match. That always kind of teases you through the commercial. Yeah. Like, I know it's coming next, and it's gonna be kind of cool.
He's calling out Orton. Orton comes out, talks about how Randy's, I'm not finished working on you yet. I'm not gonna go in there tonight, though. You're not as dumb as these Canadians. Boo.
Get that heat.
Yeah. And then Jeff says, you're going to hell and I'm going with you inside hell in a cell. We have this pay-per-view in about, 2 weeks?
the week, the Sunday after next Sunday. They explained it real weird. I think 2 weeks from the
just
Sunday
under
is what
2 weeks.
Said. Yeah.
Or 2.5 weeks. I don't know.
Three Sundays.
Sure. However, we have Joe and AJ has yet to be announced to be inside Hell in a Cell. However, Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton is inside Hell in a Cell. Has this feud really built up enough to be in a Hell in a Cell match?
No, but they think Randy Orton's worth it. That's just...
They didn't want Jeff Hardy to jump off the top of the cell.
Yeah,
That's what it's for. He's going to have one. He's gonna have a swanton off the top of the cell.
Forgive me, I'm pulling it up now so we can...
Sorry, I'm highly offended that you're doing... Well, Charo can let us know, too. I think the only Hell in a Cell match announced, that an actual Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell, is Hardy and Orton, which is odd.
Reigns and Braun is officially Hell in a Cell match as well.
Okay, that's right. But why isn't AJ and Joe in Hell in a Cell?
You got me, because they want to keep going, I guess.
They can still keep going.
Yeah.
It can still happen. There are other options for matches.
Honestly, I think the majority of this pay-per-view is going to wind up in the Hell in a Cell. It's already there. It's already set up.
Just keep it there.
Just keep it set up. Like, it's going to be like... this is my second TNA reference of the night. Like, it's going to be like Lethal Lockdown, where it's just like, everything's in a cage. Why not?
That was one of the few things that they did well. I like that concept. I guess hopefully they make Joe and AJ in the cell, too, because I don't understand why Hardy and Orton... Their feud is not nearly as deep and personal as Joe and AJ, but they get Hell in a Cell.
You should put Joe and AJ in a cage.
A steel cage instead of the Hell in a Cell.
A steel cage.
Sure.
Not a Hell in a Cell.
Sure. Why not?
Don't listen to me, creative.
Becky and Charlotte is not in Hell in a Cell. That easily has more. But Jeff Hardy and Orton get it.
It's
okay.
I'm just picturing Oprah like, you get a Hell in a Cell, and you get a Hell in a Cell. Everybody gets a Hell in a Cell.
They just want that one swanton off the top of the cell. That's all they want, apparently.
I think they want that one swanton off the top of the cell more than they actually want Jeff Hardy to be around for a long time. Like, I wouldn't be...
It's almost like their secret plan to have him leave.
No, I'm not saying they're even maliceful about the spot so much as they just don't... Like, they want the spot more than they'd want Jeff Hardy in the company for, like, ever.
I don't know.
He leaves and comes back. They're used to it.
Yeah. Carmella backstage with Renee, talking about how she's been the hottest thing going for the last 4 months. I'm the reason the Evolution pay-per-view exists. Charlotte has never pinned me, and I've been there twice, and tonight I complete the trifecta. Her interview finishes, she leaves, and R-Truth shows up looking for Carmella. We're still doing this. I thought it was hilarious the first time. Last week I was like, why are we still doing it? Tonight I'm like, why are we still really doing this? Ty stops him. Isn't Ty from Canada?
I think. Pretty sure.
So you hear the pop for him.
Yeah.
But all again is in this little backstage segment with him. And Ty tells him, let it go. And Archer's like, you're right. Timing. When the time is right, the truth shall set her free. And he walks away, and Ty's like, this is my life.
I will mention my girlfriend was in the room for this portion.
Okay.
And honestly, this is the word she used, R-Truth came off kind of rapey without context. Without the context, I had to explain. Like, wait, why is he creeping on that girl? It was how she saw it. It was like, wait, why is he lurking on that girl? Like, wait, in due time, what it... Someone call the cops on R-Truth. What is happening? I had to explain it, and I didn't... The more I explained what they're doing with R-Truth, the less I liked what they're doing with R-Truth. I was just like, no, he's like the Steve Harvey of wrestling and just gets confused?
No, that's not at all.
he's confused. He wants...
He's dumb. He's friendly dumb.
Well, yeah, but like he makes huge mistakes for the joke. Like at one point in a battle royal, he pulled out a ladder.
Right.
Something like that.
I love that.
Or like he goes for a pin in a ladder match. Yes. Throws people over the top rope when it's not a battle royal. Like I love those kind of happy accidents and mistakes. I think it all roots from the time he said the wrong city once. That's where this all came from. He said the wrong city once. And then from then on, like I think he confused Cincinnati and Cleveland or something. And from then on, it was just this big...
No, it was I think Green Bay and Milwaukee or something. It was somewhere in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's I'll catch some flack with that. As someone who's never been to either of those places, that's probably an easy mistake to make. Not if you travel from one to the other.
I don't know.
But yeah, but that's, I don't know. That's his gimmick now. Yeah. He makes mistakes.
But now he's creeping on Carmella, which makes no sense. I like him. I like the funny stuff. Doesn't need to be around Carmella every week.
Mm.
Naomi versus Billie Kay. Billie Kay is clairvoyant. Clairvoyant. I said it wrong.
She's clairvoyant. Violent.
She's clairvoyant. Her name is Clairvoyant. New wrestling gimmick. And that's a big word, clearly, because I mispronounced it. So the crowd doesn't know what it means. It means I can see the future. I see the Raptors having a terrible season.
Whew.
And then a massive Let's Go Raptors chant breaks out, which the basketball fan in me was so happy because I'm really happy Toronto has like this fan support for their basketball team. Because you see it during the playoff time, and it showed during wrestling tonight, and that, as a basketball fan, really made me happy. That has nothing to do with this, but I was just happy about it.
It's important to note that there are a lot of cities that have teams that don't care that they have teams.
Yeah.
So like
Toronto cares.
For Toronto to Toronto cares about all their teams.
Yeah.
If the Bills ever go there, they'll be welcomed. Brief aside, that's probably the only move left to make in the NFL.
So match happens, Billie Kay and Naomi. Towards the end of the match, Billie's just holding on to Naomi's hair for like a minute. And it almost looks like she spits a great mood of spit the mist out because like of her green highlights just disintegrate in the air. Mm. Towards the end of the match, Naomi's head is out of the ropes. Billie Kay is distracting the ref. Kick by Peyton on the outside. Roll up by Billie Kay. And Billie Kay gets the pin on Naomi. So 2 weeks in a row, Naomi losing to the Iconics.
This is the opposite of 50-50 booking. They actually just stuck...
It's consistent booking.
It's consistent.
I don't understand what that is.
0-50 booking. It's kind of... It's crazy.
Now you're doing Scott Steiner math.
Well, but there's a 30% chance...
Okay, we're moving on. Dan O'Brien and Bree, because, you know, Bree and Nikki are the only people that are allowed to be on both shows at the same time.
I would like for there to be one line of dialogue to establish why this can happen.
Yeah.
Like just one.
What is one to advertise Total Divas and the other to advertise Total Bellas? Is that what it is?
At least
give us something.
Just give it to me. Just give me the logic like that they have an all around deal with the USA Network so they can appear on both shows. Or with NBC Universal who owns E, like. I don't need much. I do need you to explain to me why they can show up on both shows.
Right.
Because, mark my words, we've been, like, you. The second you stopped separating the pay-per-views, the second you merged all the pay-per-views to be super shows, is the second you get very close to, oh, well, the Bellas are on both shows. Oh, well, we need Daniel Bryan over here. Oh, well, John Cena needs to work both shows. Roman Reigns needs to work both shows. And then within a very short period of time, you start a slippery slope where the rosters don't matter. I hope it doesn't happen.
Don't.
Because
don't even wish or...
Don't even put it in the universe?
Don't put it in the universe. Don't put it in the WWE Afterbuzz universe.
Because they have way too many belts to do that.
Right.
It would not work.
Dan O'Brien says, Miz said last week that he could feel it from the crowd, but he couldn't because he was acting. And he acts like he won fair at SummerSlam. He acts like he has the hardest punch in WWE. He's a very poor actor. And Bree said it felt really good to punch Miz in the face. And Dan O'Brien then said, that was really hot. And my wife is a butt-kicking, diaper-changing, face-punching hot mama.
That's a decent turn of a phrase.
Sure.
I'm about that.
And they are interrupted by Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega.
I like this.
This was unexpected. Zelina comes out. She says, what an honor to stand next to two legends, Brie Bella and Andrade Almas. Loved it. Oh, so good. So good. She runs down what Andrade has done so far on the main roster and pretty much challenges Dan O'Brien to a match. Brian says he would love to make the match official, but he's no longer the GM. If only there was someone who could come out and make this match. And I love what they did. They made it seem like Paige, because, oh, here she comes. But she wasn't there. because like she shouldn't just be standing around waiting.
Waiting for Daniel Bryan to call upon her.
Right. She shouldn't be there. So it was good that they gave it like that a little extra minute.
Mm-hmm.
And then she acted like she like ran. She was like, I heard it. My office is on the other side of this arena and I'm in heels. So this is a lot harder than what it was for you, Daniel. Okay, let's make this match.
I would have also preferred the realism of her just on her phone. Like, hey, I had them Skype me in. I had them Skype me into the Titantron because I'm so far away from the ramp. That I couldn't even make it in time.
Yeah. So then we have Dan O'Brien versus Andrade Cien Almas. You heard me right. Dan O'Brien and Almas on a SmackDown in August with no real buildup per se, but we get the match. And it was so good. And you could tell that they're holding so much back because if they get that pay-per-view type match, there would be so much more in it. But already it was so good.
So this goes to my point about why I wish we still weren't talking Daniel Bryan Miz today. I would much rather we having Brie involved, that's fine. But with Daniel Bryan working toward a future program with Andrade Cien Almas, maybe for the number one contendership, while the Miz is facing the champ, or the Miz is somehow involved with Joe and AJ or something, I would prefer they come back. Like, they're playing this record too much. This Miz Daniel Bryan record, they're playing it too much. I would much rather.
I so disagree with
really?
You.
Really?
You totally disagree.
You honestly think this will take them to WrestleMania?
Well, they can get slightly derailed at times, but still have the feud going. I mean, they have the match in Australia to determine the number one contender. So, I mean, there could be at some point in that, whoever wins that match then wins the title.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one wins the Rumble, and then it comes back.
But it could very well happen. But we were talking about this heading into SummerSlam, that there was going to be a definite finish, and one of them was probably going to move on to the title. And that didn't happen. There wasn't a definite finish. It kept them in an infinite loop.
Which is fine.
This doesn't feel like...
eventually the good guy has to win.
This doesn't feel like an infinite loop kind of a thing for me. This feels like a comeback. Like, this feels like the Tiger in The Hangover. This feels like the thing in the first act that was incredibly important that you just forgot about because so much other stuff was happening. Like, this should be a third act turn, and instead they keep beating you over the head with it the entire movie.
I think I
would like to be wrong. I would like to see this have all the legs to get to WrestleMania.
I think the third match could wait until WrestleMania with it. Because I'm not counting the mixed tag as the second match.
I'm counting it as a continuation of the program.
Because again, Survivor Series, we can have Team Miz and Team Bryan. That I would not count as the third match because there are other people involved and they can build other stories and feuds involved with it. But it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
It has the story behind it. Everyone is still completely on it. Now, if they beat it down our throats every week, brawl, 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 week after week after week after week, yes, that will get annoying over time.
I hope to be wrong, but I feel like that's the direction they're headed.
Please be wrong.
I would love to be wrong here. I would love to be wrong here. I would love these two to have a very subtle, well-told, well-plotted story. I've not seen the WWE do that well.
Well, so the match ends because Miz gets involved, DQ... It's called and Miz and Andrade team up on Dan O'Brien while Maryse takes out Brie at ringside. And then eventually they're both taken out in the ring. Skull Crusher finale, Yes Lock, and Maryse hit her DDT that we haven't seen in quite a while.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like a sit-out, flat-out DDT.
Yeah. So there you go. Miz and Maryse with the upper hand there. Quick little promo with Renee and Charlotte. Charlotte says, Becky wants to blame me because she can't win the big one. I'm not sorry for being successful and having ambition and busting my ass. Becky wants a spotlight. Well, after beat Carmella, that's what I'm going to give her. AJ Styles. Whew, I love this feud. And I'll tell you really why. I mean, not just because of the promos, but AJ talked about, the only thing Joe has proved is that he's not man enough to take the title away from me. You're not a man. He calls Joe out. This is not a threat. This is a demand from your WWE champion. Joe shows up on the Tron. You're acting like a superhero, but who's watching your kids now? He takes out his phone, calls Wendy, and now all the memes about Wendy's have been showing up thanks to Samoa Joe. is I'm going to keep the promise that AJ never did. I'm going to send AJ home. We still on for the back to school barbecue next week? Save me a plate. Maybe I'll stop by next Tuesday. We're going to have something at AJ's home next week. And what I'm talking about, why I love this so much, is since this feud has started, neither one of them, I don't believe, or it's definitely been in several weeks, but neither one has even had a match on SmackDown. They've had their promos. Joe's attacked him.
Mm-hmm.
Just a promo with AJ, just a promo with Joe. They've gone back and forth. But they're not doing wrestling. Oh, how can he focus on this guy while thinking of this guy? No guest commentary while the other one's doing a match. It's just this boiled up hatred. And the only time that you're seeing them actually compete is against each other. And that's wonderful.
I'm very excited for like the segment next week, which is what WWE desperately wants with all of their stories, is they want you to tune in next week not to see their wrestlers wrestle.
Yeah.
It's this incredible feat when they accomplish it. It's that, God, I just want to see AJ Styles and Samoa Joe do a pre-taped segment in a house they rented. Because that's what's going to happen, and I want to see it.
Joe's going to destroy AJ's house next week, isn't he?
Yeah, they may recast Wendy. I don't know. They're not above that.
Oh, don't know. They just showed her on TV a couple weeks ago.
I'm not saying they will. I'm saying they may, because they are not above. I believe at one point Triple H invaded Randy Orton's home, and they cast Randy Orton's wife and kids. Like, it was just some woman they cast to play Randy Orton's wife.
Right.
Like, WWE is not above that. They'll do that if they think it'll help.
Right.
So, like, all in all, I'm very excited to see how this story unfolds with these performers.
Yeah.
Which is incredible, because at a certain point, these performers are actually going to get in the ring and wrestle, and they're going to deliver on that, too.
And please be inside Hell in a Cell.
Or...
do it.
Or Hell in a Georgia House. Either or...
Hell in a House.
Hell in a House. It's gonna be the back to school barbecue brawl.
Oh, if they had a match named that on, then I'm sold. I'll watch that.
Bro.
That, no.
That's how that sounds.
No.
The back to school barbecue brawl. Just, you have to end that with bro. That's all I got.
Main event. Charlotte and Carmella. Carmella brought it.
Seriously.
She had an awesome Frankensteiner, a suicide dive through the bottom rope. Carmella delivered big time. Some people have kind of questioned her back and forth with her title reign of if she's been carried in the matches. And I've disagreed, and I think tonight she proved it again.
I mean, haters are going to hate.
Sure.
Those haters are going to say that Charlotte Flair, the queen, carried Carmella through all of it. But... the proof is in the pudding. I can show you receipts. I can show you gifts that'll prove that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
She has and always has been on this level since she became champion. Since she was drafted to SmackDown Live years ago. I also think she must have seen the writing on the wall with the way the storyline's going in the women's division for SmackDown Live, that this might be her, I don't want to say her final main event ever, but like...
last for a while, because like, now it's going to be Charlotte and Becky.
And like this, her run on top, if you will, this is probably the end of her first run on top.
Sure.
Which is a pretty good run.
That's 4 months.
Mania to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
That's, people kill for that.
Absolutely.
In this age, that's amazing.
Yeah. Figure eight by Charlotte for the win. Of course, the real story after the match, Charlotte is attacked by Becky Lynch. And what's that? One more Christian's closet.
Okay.
Well, why not? And the reason is because Becky Lynch was on Christian's Closet last week with her new t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, all black.
Mm.
Solid black tank top, solid black pants, black boots, and a little darker makeup.
Mm.
She looked like an angry badass. And she was an angry badass. And she was just furious. She was cocky. She was everything you want in a heel. And the reverse Canadian crowd cheered it to the cows come home.
Okay. So.
Okay, cut the music now, because I know Steve wants to say something about that.
All right. So you're saying the Canadian crowd is reverse.
They usually are. You know they usually are.
You're saying Becky Lynch's story as scripted to this point leads you to believe that Becky Lynch was wrong?
I'm not saying that she was wrong. I'm saying the way that she's attacked her, what she said in the promo last week makes sense as far as, you know, okay, mm-hmm. Charlotte did this, I've been busting my ass, this, and this. I'm for all that, but her physical actions are what make her the heel.
Okay.
And what I've really enjoyed, honestly, we had a lot of comments on our YouTube page last week, which was great, and it was kind of about 50-50 as far as people saying, yeah, she's the heel, and we're liking this, or why are they trying to make her a heel because we're just going to cheer her. But they did the same thing with Seth Rollins. They did the same thing with the Usos. They did the same thing with Sami Zayn. They turned them heel, and they got cheered more because, hey, they're doing something with this person.
But you're saying that WWE is eventually going to listen. Listen to the crowd that it's, let's not change the part of the writing and the story that will, that is getting a reaction. Let's not change that. Let's keep her badass. But let's stop presenting her as just this big mean bully and Charlotte as this perfect white meat babyface. Because I'm going to be honest, and I'm basing this mainly on the Toronto reaction, but also the Brooklyn reaction, yep. And maybe those are bubble reactions.
Yeah.
And the sentiment in my timeline, which I understand, could also be very much a bubble that it'll reinforce the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're bordering on a Roman Reigns situation with Charlotte Flair.
They could be
that, like people like the "You deserve it" chant. The thank you Becky chant.
Like treating it like a Cena issue?
The we want Becky chant. Like it's getting to that level that if Toronto's doing it, it'll be to a lesser degree in
Corpus Christi, Des Moines.
Yeah, like it'll be to a lesser degree in a more WWE crowd or a younger crowd.
Mm-hmm.
That people really like Becky. And it's
getting, really like Becky.
And it's to a point where she's going to become kind of an anti-hero, like a Steve Austin.
Sure.
And
he started as a heel.
I know.
Eventually, it organically turned where he just hated everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the rest is history with that. But, like, as far as that, really, of those three others that I mentioned, the Usos are really the only one that kind of made the change with
mm-hmm.
it. And it was very organic with it. Just like, oh, well, now they're just still cheering them anyway. Let's just have them kind of be happy, but still, I don't want to use the word thug, but still, like, with that more gangster-type attitude.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins continued to be mean. I mean, he wasn't a good guy until he came back from his injury.
Yeah.
And then you had the injury and the return. Well, Sami Zayn still gets cheered, still acts like a jackass.
Yeah. Sami Zayn has to work really hard every night. Kevin Owens as well, actually.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of examples of this. I'm not saying they're 100% guilty yet, but I am saying the more the crowd reacts this way to Becky and they ignore them, the more they're showing preference to Charlotte. And the more their preference to Charlotte is blatantly obvious, the more they're going to treat her like they treat Roman Reigns.
But I feel more so it's being treated like a feud with Cena, and Charlotte's the role of Cena. And here comes some guy who has, I'm trying to think of, let's say Edge.
Okay.
Let's use Edge. So Edge, heel, conniving, the ultimate opportunist. Who were the crowd cheering for when he was feuding with Cena? Because Cena won so many times. They wanted to see this guy who really didn't get what he deserved, even though he's being a complete rude heel,
mm-hmm.
get his, at least for the time being. Eventually, over time, yeah, he turned and went back and forth and back mm-hmm. and forth. And that's what I'm seeing with Becky. This, to me, is a female version of the Cena-Edge feud. Charlotte is constantly in the title picture, is constantly winning. She's adored. She is respected. But people might start getting sick of her. Becky, they want her in that picture because they feel she deserves it from her talent and her mic skills. But obviously, she's doing all the heelish actions for it. So they're going to have, depending on where they are, depending on the age of the crowd that night, it could alter a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But still, this does benefit Becky because whether you want to cheer her or boo her, she's getting a bigger reaction now than she did 2 months ago. Mm.
And she's getting one of the bigger reactions of the night.
Yes.
So I'm, believe me, I'm not, I'm just, I don't know. I've seen them fail at this before. I think what they've been doing with Roman Reigns in the past couple of years has been a failure in this regard. And I'm just hoping that they're not completely tone deaf. And I think looking at the upcoming card and some of the leaks about WWE Evolution, I fear very greatly that WWE will be tone deaf with a lot of different team ups and feuds moving forward, especially with the women that, I don't know, I think Becky Lynch should turn into a Stone Cold type. And I don't know if they see that, and I worry they're going to dig their heels about it because it's Charlotte Flair, which, by the way, they have her using a lot of Ric Flair's mannerisms, sure. Which a lot of Ric Flair's mannerisms are heel mannerisms, because Ric Flair worked best as a heel.
Yeah.
But
But how many crowds cheered Flair while he was the heel? A lot of them.
A lot, but he was presented as the heel.
And that's what they're doing with Becky. They're presenting her as the heel.
I'm saying it's not the same.
You're making my point.
No, it's. I'm saying it's not the same with Becky. And if the chat and the comments are any recollection, we're going to be split. And I guess this is what they want. I don't give them that much credit.
But I like, regardless whether or not you agree with me, you agree with Steve, you have your own opinion, we're talking about Becky Lynch.
Yes.
She is the main focal point of all of SmackDown now. And that is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great deal. So I love the fact that people are like, no, she's the good guy and this Charlotte's the bad guy. We should be booing Charlotte, cheering Becky. No, we should be booing Becky and cheering Charlotte. No, we should be cheering both of them. No, we should be booing both of them. No, where are the Iconics in this? Whatever it is, you're talking about Becky. And that's great.
Yeah, you weren't doing that before SummerSlam. I do agree with that. They've put her in a good enough position here. I worry they'll be tone deaf. Also, I might be wrong. They might be in Des Moines next week because they're overseas.
Someone in the chat room said, I think someone in the chat room said they're in Detroit next week. So that'll be interesting. That's kind of like a middle of the road one.
No, that's like a Toronto. That's like,
do you think so?
That's a big city.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a major media market, like Chicago. I would liken Detroit to Chicago, and Detroit and Chicago and Brooklyn and Toronto are all the same kind of a heel city, like a Philadelphia. Detroit is the Philadelphia of the Midwest. I'll stand by that.
Sure.
I'm going to get some comments about that.
No, Derek. So if you want to send nice, nice hate comments to Steve for whatever thing he did on this show today.
I said that.
Because so many. No, we got to wrap this up. And we want to hear, again, more of your thoughts with all this and more development with Becky Lynch on this. And talk with us on iTunes, on YouTube. Like, subscribe, give those 5 stars, share, tell us your thoughts on it. And you can talk to us on various forms of social media. Steve Kaufman, thank you for hanging out with me tonight.
Thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
How can people reach out to you?
They can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman, which is KAUFMANN. I run 4 different YouTube channels. If you want to find out which ones, you got to go ahead and follow me.
And follow me on Twitter at Roy Rosenberg, Instagram, The Roy Rosenberg. Again, Tom Connelly will be in Chicago with his Connelly Central rings during StarCast. Not even for the whole Star. I think for Thursday and Friday or Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know his days either.
Yeah.
I don't know his days, but he will be there. Very limited supply. Check him out while you're there. Enjoy that whole show if you're going to Chicago. And go to Tom, say hi, tell him I sent you, because then maybe he'll give me a free ring. And also on ProWrestlingTees.com, from Thursday at noon through the weekend, use promo code ALLIN, save 20% on your order, which means if you go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg, like this shirt that I'm wearing right now, my classic Rosenberg Above Hate shirt, amongst my others, you save 20% this weekend on it. So that's a good time to buy them. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Steve Kaufman, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.